Welcome to another episode of Top Lines and Tales, the nation's favourite livestock podcast. And as always, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Harborough, for their continued support. This week on Top Lines and Tales, I'd like to welcome another legend of the cattle and of the livestock industry there. A man needs no introduction there, Jim McMillan from Brecon there in Scotland. Jim, welcome to Top Lines and Tales.
Oh, thank you.
And Jim, I gather you've just had a big birthday there. You've been out celebrating these last few days.
Superb. There was 136 at it.
Okay.
And that danced away all night.
And what age were you then, Jimmy? Just remind us.
I was 19 on the birthday, on Saturday.
That was brilliant. Well, congratulations on that. I know there was quite a few folks there had a good night as well, I think. So.
the whole kaput.
I can imagine.
But my pal, Stuart Brown, tractor boy, he's in Nine Wells Hospital. He couldn't manage it. And Tom Brenny, you know Tom, Aberdeen Angus?
Yes, yeah.
And his wife hasn't been well for some time. I was speaking to Tom last night, and she's still in hospital, will be for
Okay. Okay. Well, we wish her well on that one. We'll have a word about Tom in a minute because I know you did some work for him. But let's just go back to the beginning then, Jim. You were born, I think, on the Isle of Bute, one of 12 children.
Yes. There was 12 in the family, but there was two early deaths, like, you know. And so six girls and four boys alive, but there's only two of us left now. My young sister, she's a year, 13 months younger than me.
Okay.
So that'll be another party.
There you go. There you go, another one. You did your national service in 1954, is that right?
No, 52. And went in Falling Hostel, I think it was. Then the bash, you know, here. And then we travelled to Germany.
Right.
We replaced Fallingbottle, just not that far from Hanover. So I was in that service there. And I didn't do enough for a lot because if you were in sports, I was in the tug of war team, so in the football team, and I was in the hockey team.
Okay.
So,
oh, well.
So I certainly enjoyed it. And I finished up chauffeur for Lieutenant Petey.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
And that would be just a year, was it, Jim?
2 years.
2 years. Okay.
And I come out in 54.
Okay, you came out in 54, and you had to come home and work back on the farm at home on Bute?
Yes, went back to the home. And there wasn't any more than a month home, and there's a list of nurseries. Son, Jim, he joined the Young Farmers, and he bought some cattle, you know, to eat the grass. I think it was only about four. And when into the five-a-side football in the winter time, and we met up with him and said, "Would you buy these calves?" So I was doing it. He says, "Where you've come out, I'm going in."
Okay.
So I bought the calves, and two was Frisians, and father one of the later state of Frisians.
Okay.
Because he was an Ayrshire man.
Mm-hmm.
He did an Ayrshire dairy. And a farmer along the road took them off. I think it was £10 a profit off the two of them.
Okay.
and the other two, there was one really good calf, Galloway. Mm-hmm. And I brought it out. That was the first showing myself. And when the next year, it won it here.
Okay.
And then our local show.
Okay.
It was champion at our local show. and they used to have the butcher sale, you know, after the shows, they days way back.
At Rossi, that'd be, wouldn't it?
Yes, yeah, in the Ute. And it was a cousin of a father, that he was the main butcher, and so he bought it, and I got a fair profit. So he bought it £150, and I bought it for £20.
That'll do.
So that's way back in the days.
I'm going to say that's a couple of months' wages back then, wouldn't it be, in the 50s there? And then you moved on to, well, you said you showed a few Fat Stockers, I think, but in the time, and then you moved on to Damside of Dun in Montrose. What, was that your first job, was it?
Aye, 66. 1st of August, 66, we went Damside. So my brother-in-law came to us with the company. He never done much agricultural side.
Okay.
And would you join up with us? So we were married before that.
Mm-hmm.
But John didn't last long. He was only three and a half year, and he collapsed in the potato shed.
Oh, shit.
And we lost him. You know, that was it. And then struggled on for about 83, I think it was.
What was his name, John? That was John Lahore, was it?
John Lahore, yeah. Ah, you'll know young John.
Yeah, yeah. What sort of cattle were they when you went to Damside of Dun there? Would they be Angus?
No. There was no cattle started up.
Okay.
But just a few. But it was more or less two grey heifers that met up a good man. And they used to buy them from Ireland.
Ireland, okay.
And it was all blue females, and then the Charlie Bull over them.
Okay.
And
you showed cattle will go to your Smithfield prowess, but you showed under the partnership of Lahore and Macmillan. So was the farm running that partnership as well, or did you just run the cattle in that partnership?
No, with just everything.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
it was all done. But that was me doing the whole cattle work sort of thing.
Okay.
But, yeah, we struggled for a while, and then the first kids were all still young. So and then with Mr. Mackay, mine's the Charlie, you'll know him.
Uh-huh.
It was the air show in the air, and Margaret had phoned and got in touch with us. The site of the Charlotte Society was need to speak to us. So we went onto the phone, and they says, would you like a job down at Charlotte's? There's a man starting up, Peter Donger.
Okay.
And that's where it started.
Let's just go back a little bit before then, because obviously you started showing cattle at Smithfield. My first year at Smithfield was 77, but you were a long time before me, and you were... Back in the 60s, you'd be showing cattle at Smithfield to start with, and of course, until you went on and won it in 1975. But I mean, you'd have had your share of the winnings in and amongst there. The names I can remember was yourself and John Lascelles. You know, between you, and maybe Davy Sinclair, you'd be battling for that championship year on year.
That's right.
Yeah.
All of we've been champion at every show, you know, from AF Stirling. Yeah, Terry Muir, Angus, there's local, Terry Cairn, and then started going up north, Ballaturn, all up the area, far out, Keith sort of thing showing. No, everyone.
So the Smithfield cattle, certainly in the earlier, the late 60s and early 70s, would be a lot of Angus in there. There, would you be buying these in for your show cattle in from somewhere, or would be breeding a few, or where do they come from?
No, we just started right from scratch, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
But they good blue green heifers, and putting the Charlotte Bull over them. And we started AI to start with, and then we got a bull from Bill Anderson.
Yeah.
Ed Fryer and
Rich.
And Rich.
Yeah.
Rich was.
Yeah, yeah.
The dad was the stockman there.
That's right.
And it was they were shorthorns, but the, seemingly they had this cow when they settled and they put Charlie on her, mm-hmm. and they got twin bull calves. Uh-huh. And brother, he came up, we were at Highland Show, and Rich's dad, he says to Jock, my brother, just, we've got two bulls, come up and have a look at them. So he bought one, and I didn't buy the other one, but not long after that, I went back up, Rich's dad, and Wayne got father, had a look at the bull, and I bought it. I said, but this is a tail end. I said, I'll get it a bit cheaper than that. He said, you take it or you leave it.
So, and that'd be Anderson's at Lawrence Kirk, would it be?
Mary Kirk. Just before Lawrence Kirk.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good breed is in the early days of the Shirelles, weren't they? In the very early days.
So anyway, in the show side of it, Brother Jocks, he never got anything out of it.
All right. And
all the chambers I've had was this, the weak light, you know. And, So, but you know, that was it. We didn't buy anything else.
All homebred out of those good blue-grey cows. And you won Smithfield outright in 1975 with a Shirelle Cross heifer called Lulu, and I've got some pictures of her. She was a tremendous beast.
Oh, she was cracker. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she wouldn't be very old, just a baby maybe.
No, 14 months.
All right, uh-huh. Yeah.
14 months.
Yeah. You could win Smithfield with cattle at 450 kilos back then, Jim, a bit different these days.
So that's a kind of that.
And you had two more reserves as well, two more reserve supremes as well, I think you were in the glass box, is that right, three times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
77.
To John DeSales.
And 81, and Jim McTechnie. And I was reserved to him.
That's right. Remember that. And when you went on and judged Smithfield in 1991, if I remember right, I was showing cattle by then.
91, yeah.
I showed cattle down then. Okay. And by that time, of course, you'd be down at Peter Donger's down in England. And when was it you went down there to Peter Donger's?
1st of September, 87.
Yeah, that would be right. I was it was the year my son was born, and I was judging the commercial cattle at Blakesley's show, and I remember seeing you there standing on the side of the ring.
Your red jersey on.
I remember thinking, what the hell's Jimmy McMillan doing this far south? Are you standing on the side of the ring? And I think you just moved down, or just come in down.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Peter phoned me. I was May, the year show. And I can't. I was working on the Lawrence Kirk bypass at that time, or a dike builder, him and I. Uh-huh. And I says, I would need to give, you know, a few months' notice. That's what happened there.
Okay. And you went down there and started with Peter and Sheila Donger at the Seawell herd. And was there a good herd of Shirelles when you got there, or was it up to you to build them up?
No, they didn't have any pures. It was,
okay.
You know, just commercial.
Right.
So, no, and the lot was all cleared out, and then they just started, you know, they went up with Cotswolds, and that's where Celia came from.
Okay.
There was six sisters by Occidental.
Yes.
And the rest of the cows were all good, big, strong, powerful, you know, heads on them. And Peter would made a price and with them. And Peter says, no, I'm no buying them at that price. I need to drop a bit. So the next weekend, Margaret and I set off to have a look at them ourselves. And come back home next morning, and Peter, every morning, he always come out, morning, Jimmy, you know. And when I'm in the yard, and I said to him, I said, you'll know guess where I was yesterday. He said, you wouldn't have back looking at the cattle there yet? I said, I was. And he says, what do you think? I said, well, me? I says, I'll snap them up now. So he says, right, we'll stop early and we'll go, we'll get a driver, Fred Rattray, another Scotsman at work there. Uh-huh. And we set off up and we met the auctioneer, Fred Banbury. Well, actually, we went to go to his house.
That would be Jim Watson, would it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
So, well, Peter and I were legless. And then the shook hands, and that was the price of the cattle.
And who was it that owned that Kilkenny herd?
Try and find that out. No. I can't mind.
Never mind.
I can't mind who it was.
Never mind.
But they were giving up on it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Mm. So it was royalty just to win the next place. Anne?
Yeah, Princess Anne, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
We're heading back home. And before that, there was seven young bulls, and they were in this little paddock and looked wild as hell. And as soon as we went near them, we were shot in with pigs, you know, in this real low roof light. And so I spied a bullet of light, and so we walked away with a drink in the house, and I said, we've got to free bull for a luck penny. And the boy right away shook her hand.
Well.
And then at the time he was, you know, kind of year on maybe, and we took him to Carlisle and we got 10,000 for him. So that was a good one for a start.
Good luck penny, yeah, indeed. And we mentioned Kilkenny Celia. We more than mentioned Kilkenny Celia, really, because she's a legend herself, probably one of the greatest animals to grace a show ring during my generation in the livestock showing world anyway, and fantastically ably brought out by yourself, Jim, but a great show cow, and was pretty much unbeatable, really.
Oh, definitely. She was that. It was a sad affair. We were our last outing was at Newbury, and she won there. We come back, and by Monday, there was just water flying out of her.
Okay.
And she was just going down the hill, and Peter was going to get the knackery lad. I said, can we not get the vets to see what they can do? Well, the local vets, they couldn't do anything. And this guy said, could go to the veterinary in London. He says, a man, an Irishman, he'll do the job there. So she'd calved it, you know, at that time.
Right.
And 2 weeks calved. They were getting enough milk. And no, she calved down there. And so I had to go back down again with the lawnmower, the Land Rover, and take the calf back home and try and see what, you know, get to the bottom of it, what it was, and it was riddled with cancer.
Was she your hell?
I never heard it before, like.
Oh dear. So, oh dear.
So it was a sad day. And I said, where can I bury?
Uh-huh.
Just get the wagon in. I said, no, do not at all. Went to Sheila and down in the Oxford, in the corner of the Oxford, below the house light.
So. A sad tale, but they say go back to what she won. I think, am I right in thinking she won the Royal Show 3 times, Jimmy? There's not many cattle have done that.
Three times there. Three times. Well, all the shows, the Royal.
She might have won that more than once, but she won the Grand Slam, which of course is the three Royals, the Royal, the Highland, and the Royal Welsh. She won the three of those. In 1 year, I think, which is a rare feat for anything. But she went on and won interbreeds as well. She was twice in the Burke Trophy team, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
Again, there's not many.
She was a great beast.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing I liked about it, I think it was the Leicester all the boys up there. I mean, there was a big clash of the Charlies, and they're out on the parade. But I'm walking past, and they're all the stock lads are all, and the owners clapping, you know,
yeah.
Win again, win again.
So, yeah. more of a celebrity than you, but she was a famous cow. And Peter then went into Sir Lurs, if I remember right, didn't he? Were you still involved then?
No. So Glenn Welsh, but I don't know how long he went away back down at Castle Douglas way, I think.
Yes, I know Glenn Welsh. There's some character that you tell a story or two, that lad. What a character.
He's a great sheepy man, you know.
And if I remember right, Peter went on to be was he on the council or president of the Sherrilly Cattle Society there, and had some Galloways there as well, I think, at one time, and some character, Peter Donger.
Well, it didn't. It was just Charlie's, you know, when I was there. Well, it was a hunt when finished up. There was 150 cows.
Right.
When I left. And there was 152 calves.
Well done.
That was my finish. That was my last.
What a great legacy to leave behind, and a fantastic herd they were. And of course, Sophie carried on, being involved in that as well. And that was you then. You retired, Jimmy. Retired back to Scotland, 67 years old. But you had a few cattle of your own, I think, Jim.
Yeah. Well, I was 15, and it was the time of the foot and mouth, and I couldn't shift them. And James, Jimmy, as he calls him, mother business. So he looked around, you know, and there was a Scots boy just next door to him when he was at Darsham.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Darsham at that time.
Your Jimmy. Your Jimmy was, Alec Clements,
And so he came back on the phone and says, I've got a stand for you. He said, it's just minutes. To his place. So he came up with the lorry and the trailer at the back of that, and put them up, and the two bulls, and they're between the cows and the young ones, and that had two good heifers, and put them up, and they were champion and reserve at Perth, and Jim Muirhead was helping us. And he says, no, letting them go at that. He says, I'll put them home for you. So they went to Jim, and he says, if you're stuck, he says, you'll get stayed in here. But then we couldn't shift them, and they went down the way. Then we got word about 3 weeks, some months after that. They said that you could go down the way, but you couldn't go up.
No.
So then we get another, you know, shout back in, you can now shift your cattle. And that was them, and Jim Muirhead took them.
Okay.
And then Jim started, he used to come to the sales to us anyway.
And remind me where Jim Muirhead was?
Jim Muirhead, he's down at Broadway.
Okay.
But he's passed away now.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And he's 16 years younger than me, Superman. Superman.
Okay.
So anyway, it's Alice, and then he was getting his numbers up, and Tom Rennie, he came, you know, was sorted out a deal of what I was getting to do his cattle. And he'd plant the grass, and Jim didn't, you know, the numbers were going up.
Yeah.
So he says, just leave it with plenty of friends at Moss and Muir. And it was okay with Jim and that. And he was needed the room anyway. So that was it. And then Tom had, he says, I want you to do what you've done with Celia.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, I shall try.
And you did too. You never seemed to be far away from when you got Tom Rennie's cattle out. And Tom Rennie was around about fourth away, wasn't he?
That's right. He's only about 7 miles to Forfar.
And Tom Rennie of the Moston Muir herd there, and as I said, yeah, Tom had had a great run there, and you'd take a lot of credit for that, I guess.
Well, that was it. He does one hell of a good heifer, and I was in the first go, and I liked this Belty Calloway.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Tom, we're going up the road with cattle that shouldn't have been going up the road with in the lorry. And I said, there's a better beast in the field. And he says, what's that? I said, that Belty Calloway in there, Primrose.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, all right. He says, we'll get the next, and never look back. So he finished up, I think, 8, maybe 9 championships, the Belty Galloways, the Highland.
Did she not win 7 championships herself? I think Moston Muir, Primrose, 7 Belty championships at the Highland.
I was 6 or 7, that's right. And then a daughter, I thought, won 2, and Primrose again. Mm. And then a son, a young bull, he won the last one when I was there.
Okay.
And then Tom sold up after that.
Yeah.
That bull, he went for the point in Atom Carlisle Market.
Okay.
And Tom says to me, what do you think we should put on him? $10,000. So we'll look at $10,000. So and then we haggled away. And they went at 10,000.
Oh, okay.
Up Belty Calloway.
Good stuff. Good stuff. A good trade for a Belty back then. Well, now still a good trade. So let's just go back to those Angus herd at Moston Muir. And I know there was a jewel, Erica, there of Cambus Baron, and she had been bred by Dave Smith, of course. Smithy, I don't know if you were involved in when she got picked up or not.
It's a lot of good cattle, but they just weren't, you know, good enough. It wasn't getting the right type of jewel handy.
Uh-huh.
There was one bull he'd bought at Carlisle, paid a lot of money for it. It was 10,000. But no.
Well, most of the winning he seemed to do was with a cow or a family called Tidy B, if I remember right.
Tidy B, that was the one, you know. But he had all the local shows, and that was good, and the good Highland shows. Always on the tickets, that never getting right to top.
Well, as I said, Tidy B certainly won her share of the silverware there, and the Walker's Show Herd of the Year, he won that a few times. He must have had some good Angus in there. Yeah.
That was a good good heifer. Mm-hmm. Crack of the heifer. Mm-hmm. She won all her shows like.
Yeah.
Just a year one.
Mm-hmm.
And 15,000 for her plus.
No, he certainly, his name is in the record books with her. Anyway, she was a good show cow. And I think he had Herefords there as well at one time. But he got Herefords when you were there, Dagon.
Uh-huh.
He had Herefords.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I had a good go at the around the Herefords too.
Yeah.
He was never champion like with them. And then it was the Hereford man, and they put them in to Carlisle, you know, finish up. I think it would be a bit... 4 or 5 years uh-huh. Hereford.
Okay. And of course, Alan still runs the butcher shop there in Forfar, deals in a lot of quality cattle, doesn't he? The top end of it. I suppose.
I was in at the farm yesterday. To see Tom, but he was away seeing his wife at Nine Wells.
Yeah. So he said she wasn't so well. And was that when you finished with Tom? Was that you retired then? You always seemed to be somewhere about doing something.
No, I went to the man that you were speaking to, Smithy's.
All right.
West Rums. Went to West Rums. Johnny Steele came to us.
All right, yeah.
So, and I had to take my cattle with her. I didn't have many, only 3 females, and, you know, and the Charlie's with Johnny. So he's down in, what is it?
Yeah, Johnny's gone down the borders now, and he's got some good Angus, though, and along with his daughters there, enjoys the shows, and he's always doing well with them.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, he's
And you mentioned young Jimmy, of course. Young Jimmy has had a good run as well. You said he was down at Darsham's down there with Alec Clements and Simmentals, and then he got his own Simmentals, I think Jimmy did, or does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always. Well, the boys up north, they would have bought quite a bit from them. Summers, is it?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Summers, yeah. But yeah. And didn't he...
Keith.
Am I right in thinking he broke the female record with the Simmental? Would that be right? I think he did.
I'm not just sure of that.
I think I saw that somewhere that he broke the female record, certainly, and it may be the one that Simmers bought, but yeah, certainly... Able man and well respected, nearly as able as yourself, Jimmy. You'd probably say that.
Oh, he's a top of their boy. He knows his stuff.
Same as yourself, and always keeps good company in the cattle world. And again, same as yourself. And I likes a party, Jim. Same as you like a party. You know, Tom Rennie liked a party. Peter Donger liked a party. You seem to be the party guys. Party team. They're always on form and enjoying the crack. It's what it's all about, really.
That is right.
All part of it. Some great Kiss parties down there in Smithfield in the days, but as you said, in the Highland show, what have you, and that's all part of showing, isn't it? That's the whole thing.
Oh, just every show you went, that was it. The Yorkshire show, too, I like that.
No, great party. Yep, and I spoke to Tam the other day, another party guy, Tam McMillan, and where does he fit into the family there? Is he a cousin or a nephew, maybe? From Butte.
Nephew.
It's a nephew. Nephew. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
I had him and got chatting to him the other day just recently. And you're back up at Brecon now, is that right? Have you still got a few cattle about you, Jim, or are they all away now?
No, they're finished. Mm-hmm. Three years back.
Okay.
No, we're in a lovely house here in Brecon. Mm-hmm. Nice, there's about 19 houses in it.
Okay.
In the block. So I've got green fingers now. Looking at this. Sun up the garden well. Uh-huh. That's it.
Okay. Good.
But they still go to the wool sales and that.
Yep.
And the shows, local shows.
Certainly, I saw you. I saw you at Stirling at this last sale there, and still looking well, Jim, I have to say. Looking well.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Well,
I done my last judging at Festiern, so that was in August. So.
Okay, we're still going at it. It's great that you're still getting out to the judging there and putting a little bit more of that wisdom back into the industry and back into the youngsters. There's some fantastic youngsters coming through the business now, and they're all keen as mustard, and they'll be listening to this and wanting to learn something from Jim McMillan in the same way that I learned from you, Jim. You're a great mentor of mine too.
And the same, the young ladies, the young girls, there's as many girls in the ring as what there is men there, isn't it?
Very true, there is. As I said, as I said, very much a man that I looked up to in my generation, and there was, you along with John Lascelles, Bert Rugg, Ian Anderson, some fantastic stockmen back in those days there, and it was a pleasure to be there and see and watch and learn from you guys.
Sandy Beaton.
Sandy. Alistair Reddy. what a great crowd you all were, and a great crack that went with that. And I know Sandy's away just recently now, and there's not many of them left, but Sandy's funeral, shortly there'll be some tales being told, as I'm sure there were at your 90th birthday just recently as well, Jim. Great days, Jim. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and I hope that some of our listeners will realise that we're in good company there, Jim, when we hear about what you've been there and what you've done. So thanks for sharing a few stories with me.
Right, thank you very much, Andy.
It's been absolute pleasure. We'll see you soon. We'll do.
Bye-bye.
Cheers now.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Top Lines and Tales, the nation's favourite livestock podcast. And as always, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Harborough, for their continued support. And now we're almost getting into springtime. I say almost because it's still raining here. But we're almost getting into springtime, and with springtime approaching and Positive trends in livestock prices and a recent drop in feeds. There's never been a better time to creep feed those lambs and calves there. So get in touch with Harborough and find your best option for your system. And contact Harborough, your local representative, or find them on the internet or various other places, maybe social media. And while you're there on social media, don't forget to look out our Top Lines and Tales Facebook community there, where you'll find photographs and various other things to back up this and previous episodes.